Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
No wire hanger.
If you said, "Mommy dearest."
No wire hangers!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Well, I want to thank Simply Safe for being part of this second segment. Go to simplysafe.com/am, get 24/7 protection, $15 a month. And of course, Geico. Get the 15% off or more on your car insurance at geico.com. Don't we love Joel McHale?
Oh, my God.
Far too infrequent a guest.
He is so freaking funny and makes everybody, funnier and have more fun.
Quick review. Bald Brian astutely brought this up many years ago, which is the three guests that were radio death on my morning show at KLSX. So says program director.
I think I know a thing or three about programming, peeps.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been in the business for
boobs,
a while.
Boobs, titties, jugs.
Right. Oh, wing bowl.
Oh, wing back is four things, yeah.
Wing ball. I always love... I give.
It's big in Philly, peeps!
I love when people give me answers like that, where I go, why should we do the wing ball on a radio show?
Hey, man, it's huge in Philly. They sell out arenas.
Right, Philly's the number nine market. We're number two, so why are we doing what the number nine market does?
Right, but if it's huge in Philly, multiply it by...
Well, what does Philly and L.A. have?
Four and a half.
Sorry, Jack.
Well, yeah, what's
up? Now, we have a lot of comedians roll through here.
Sure do.
We have a lot of chicks. Like, I know the ones you like, the sort of cooch patrol, the lowrider chicks with the big asses.
Funny and hot.
Yeah. The ones that give, like, the Vita Guerra or whatever their names are.
That's right. Christine Dolce.
Yeah, they give
booty queens.
Like, a lot of advice about
that's right.
Do's and don'ts of dating and stuff like that.
Well, that part's not funny. It's practical.
I would argue, though, much like the wing ball, sort of a visual media. You know what I mean? Like, chick with a nice ass who can't really talk. Or construct a thought.
Yeah, the perfect woman. Hey, I'm top beef.
All right, but anyway, there are other guests you're not so fond of.
Well, the ones that aren't as funny or interesting to look at or don't have boobs.
Right. So this is 2008. Mm. So says Jack Silver. Who is Radio Death on this morning radio show?
One of the first guests we ever had on was on way too long. A kid by the name of Zach Galifianakis. Zach Galifianakis, I think. He was on the show for like three or four segments, way too long, too much Galifianakis.
So not have him back.
It's a cliche for a reason, too much Galifianakis.
He's going nowhere. Okay, so
I made my point.
That kid shouldn't quit his day job.
I mean, he can hang around.
No, but I mean not be on the radio.
Please don't.
Okay, so Jack, was it, or Zach? I know he's coming.
There's only one Jack.
Okay, Zach Galifianakis is one. Who else at Radio Death?
Louis C.K., not funny. I'll just say it. Not funny. Funny.
Uh-huh. Not funny. All right. So Radio Death.
He's Louis. No John or Jeff.
That's right. John and Jeff. That's right. John and Jeff. I miss John and Jeff. I really do.
The third Jeff.
They inspire those who think they can't do radio.
You miss John and Jeff? They're still doing the show.
Oh, okay. I miss John and Jeff.
No, they're in the studio just talking in a microphone. They're not plugged in. They haven't been plugged in for years.
2008, Jack Silver says Zach Galifianakis, Louis C.K., and the third, Radio Death.
The third of my trifecta, Joel McHale.
I remember conversations with Jack where I'd go, Joel McHale is super funny, and he brings it every time. And Jack was like,
0-for-2 there, Ace Man.
Every Friday? And I was like,
look, I'm down with super funny and brings it every time, but every week?
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, look, we got 4 hours a day to fill. Joel comes in filled with clips from The Soup, and he's super funny. Why wouldn't you dive on that and hold on to it with both hands as a reoccurring segment? It's like, I'm just saying, Ace Man, can we do it like once a month?
Yeah, there's plenty of other ways to fill 4 hours a day. You could blow callers up. You could have them call in and like just tell them, name it something not so lame, like be funny, but not that lame. Like have them call up and tell jokes, and then you just sit back and laugh every, few seconds, but have them tell the jokes. There's lots of ways to fill up 4 hours.
They can call you dad or the professor.
How
either
about
one.
How about weather and traffic and time? time and temp.
This ain't Radio 101, Ace Man. I feel like you moved past that. You should be doing that already.
All right. So those were the three that the great Jack Silver labeled this radio.
Now, there goes a man.
All right. And I kind of like Jack.
I do like that Jack somehow hit the trifecta of the most popular movie, TV, and stand-up comedians at that time in history. Like, soon to be the most popular movie, TV, and stand-up.
Yeah, it'd be like saying, look, I've been working at this stock exchange for a long time, and I can tell you, you stay away from Amazon.
Facebook and Apple. Tesla.
Tesla, Amazon, and if you're even thinking about, but it's like 1999. If you think you're going anywhere near Apple...
What is this Google
or
nonsense?
Something called Uber? Run,
don't walk.
Run.
That's the scene from Defending Your Life. He's like, the Swiss keep the time.
Yeah. Well, Seiko's coming out with a watch.
Yeah, the Swiss keep the time. Japanese. They make a hell of a sport. They make a hell of a lawnmower or whatever he said. He just missed him.
Whatever happened to those cattle?
I never got a straight answer.
Last I heard, they ran away.
Their teeth fell out.
Their teeth.
And I never
got a straight answer.
All right.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Let's do a little news, shall we?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, CNN reports that a United flight made an emergency landing in Honolulu on Tuesday after a piece of the cover came off the right engine on a flight from San Francisco. Passenger Jeff Carter said he heard a big metallic bang, then the plane began to shake. A United spokesman said that the pilot safely landed at the intended airport and the passengers got off as they normally would. Boeing 777 has two engines. Here's a clip. I don't know how important this is, but it certainly scared the passengers and made the plane shake.
I wanted my 777.
There should be a
big big shroud. It's a big sheet metal shroud that goes around to cover the engine.
That's just better air intake.
Yeah, it's going to affect the aerodynamics of it, but
I was going to say
it shouldn't affect the flight of it.
No, because then you see
airplanes for what they do are insanely durable.
Yeah,
like.
Self-fixing
Well, yeah, I don't know if self-fixing is quite the way to put it, but what I'm saying is like they can fly on one engine, which seems bizarre to me. Like all this thrust so far out on one side of the plane, and they literally can fly with one engine. These bombers that would come back from World War II with the entire tail stab shot off with like holes all the way through it. And I'll tell you where you kind of learned this in a weird but sort of rudimentary way. Is if you ever fly like remote control model airplanes, you'd be amazed at like how much junk can break off and can kind of go south and whatever. And the plane still sort of, it flies. Like it kind of wants to fly. It's pretty amazing how much damage a plane can sustain and still be pretty airworthy, not for long periods of time, but I just mean to get back to the airport.
That's good to know. Yeah. Well, and this had to be probably particularly disconcerting because they're flying from San Francisco to Hawaii. So the closest place to go was where they were going anyway.
What airline was it?
United.
777.
That's a big plane, isn't it?
That's the biggest. I mean, not the biggest, but it's big.
I'm actually surprised it only has two engines. I don't know a lot about airplanes, but I know 777 is a big plane.
They went away. I think somebody figured out in a weird way, all the supercars now, not all of them, many of the supercars now have a V6. The Ford GT supercar has a V6. A lot of supercars have a V6 now because they figured out we don't need 12 cylinders or 10 or 8. We can do 6. We can turbocharge. We can be more efficient and whatever.
Milk the performance out of 6.
Right. Yeah. And so I think they figured out, because always the 747 always had the big four engines. They figured out two good ones is probably more efficient.
Enough, yeah.
Fuel efficiency is kind of all what it's about. But anyway, yes.
Well, speaking of technology, I don't know if you saw this. It's pretty great and also very cute. Time.com reports that the robotics firm Boston Dynamics is showing off its latest creation, a robotic dog that can open doors.
Nope.
Don't be a hater to the cute dog. Now, wait. Nope. We're watching a video right now. This dog can't figure it out, but another dog can, another robotic dog.
Oh, that's nightmare.
They come around.
Nightmare fuel.
This is Black Mirror all all over it. So in a video posted by the company, we're watching it right now.
That could be an aliens.
The company's Spot Mini robot is seen struggling to get past a locked door until another Spot Mini shows up with a special arm that can open the door. The second robot then holds the door open for his little buddy. It isn't clear if the robots are acting anonymously or if someone's controlling them. It doesn't show on the video. But robots like this have real-world benefits, according to Time, like the ability to find people stranded in rubble after earthquakes and natural disasters.
Yeah.
There's lots of
practical. We out of Mexicans? Okay. Now, the thing is this. The legs scare me. Weird ostrich future legs. Mm-hmm. And the scary part is, in all the movies where the robots were taking over, this is how they look.
That's how it started.
So somebody's on to something. Yep. And I don't like the way this book ends.
Like Gina said, you know, they can find the people in the rubble. There's lots of practical applications until they decide they've had enough.
Until they become self-aware.
Exactly.
But
when Skynet takes over.
Right. One minute you're looking for people in rubble, and the next minute you're looking for people who don't think like the government thinks.
Oh, my God.
And they'll find them.
Yes, they will.
In the rubble of their own apartment. That's
Minority,
how it works.
Minority Report with the little spiders. They're going to find their way into your house.
And am I smoking the opium of the masses here? Because the first thing I thought when I saw that was, that is adorable. You that's what they want us
wrong.
To think.
That's how they
wrong.
Start.
Okay.
You got to see the movie.
Yeah, you're right.
And then, Chucky although if you, had, if you had one of those at home, I don't think I could resist at least once in the middle of a tile floor, putting a little pile of bolts and squeezing some motor oil on top of it and just having my wife find it and go like, oh, Jesus. Come here. You got to go outside. Outside.
Come on, out.
Rub the nose in it a little bit and then send them to the cage, you know, and train them how to walk their head down. And
honey,
do
where are the pads?
You're right. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in dramatic fashion, Shaun White won the third gold medal of his career and the 100th for Team USA in the Winter Olympics.
YOLO, man.
Tuesday in his
Not
final
since
run.
Chelsea Clinton has a hair transformation helped so much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He flat irons the shit.
Oh, look, he went from long to short.
He went from like long and frizzy and it was sort of weird to strangely handsome.
Yeah, debonair.
Yes, now just by simply cutting it off and having a sort of normal haircut. It was sort of an, you know, carrot top kind of novelty act. Yep. He was a flying tomato and
he
stuff.
He was a flying tomato.
And then he cropped his hair and went over to Fantastic Sam's. And you look at him now, it's like, oh, that guy's dashing.
He's very dashing.
Yeah, and I say the same for Chelsea Clinton.
He did it by landing back-to-back 1440s.
Look at this guy. We're looking at him now. Like he kind of
grew up.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's like nothing really changed. He just kind of went from novelty act to debonair. And his hair darkened a little as he got older. He cut it shorter.
You know what, though? The dashing version with the short hair, he wouldn't be accepted where he came from. That guy, that surfer dude looking guy, that's the kind of dudes
that's
he hung out with when he was coming up.
Now he's established.
Yeah.
Right.
So
in the streets of San Diego.
It came after White left the last Olympics empty-handed and just months after he wiped out practicing the trick, the 1440, in a bionic aerial with four full revolutions. He ended up with 62 stitches when he was practicing. White was in tears. He hugged his family.
Wow. Yeah.
After the score is announced, here's a clip. This is now I've vetted this. This is the last run that he won with.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Are you guys with me that one of the most impressive, at least to watch, aspects of all that is insanely impressive about the half pipe and especially the downhill skiing is them coming to a beautiful, graceful, and fast stop at the bottom? The downhill guys are going 82 miles an hour. When they show the space, that's still, by the way, downhill, that they have to slow down in, seems like about 150 feet before they go into the hay bales and the food truck. And they do this move where they can pull it out wide one way and then they slide it in the other way and shoot this huge rooster tail snow. And they stop and they're never even like, they don't do a half curtsy or they just whoosh.
They stake the landing.
And they're stopped like stuck. Like they're not, like they don't start rolling, sliding backwards like you would do in panic. It's just this weird slide, whoosh, rooster tail. And then they're looking up at like their scores or whatever. There's something so casual about
it. Cool.
Like,
quietly impressive.
The rest of the run, they're trying. This is just all muscle memory. It's a whoosh. And it's like, you go, that guy's a pro. And it's like, if you were watching somebody to know, is this guy good? Is this guy not good? that one move would let you know that this guy's done this for 20 years.
So the muscle memory point, they've probably pulled off the jump 12 times, 13 times, somewhere in the neighborhood.
Right.
They've done the stop on a dime 2,000 times.
Right.
Yeah, how many times have they stopped?
Right.
So here's the clip, and maybe we'll see one of those beautiful stops.
He's dropping in.
Here comes the announcer.
Sean White for the goal.
God, such crazy, such air, and the traveled such a great distance in the air.
Second, 14:40.
I've got to tell you, when you're in the air, there's nothing like it.
One more hit. Will it be enough?
Oh, just nailed it.
Arms in the air. He knows he got it, too.
And he put it down.
And look how he slowed down. If I was the commentator, look at him. He's taking his goggles off before he even gave it a full stop.
What confidence.
He's already celebrating.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, really, really cool. Well, Bill Paxton's family has filed a wrongful death suit against the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in L.A. and the surgeon who operated on the star before he passed away last year. That's what Page Six says. The family.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That? There was a surgery mishap.
Yeah. Like Joan Rivers. The family claims that Dr. Ali Koinezed performed an unnecessary procedure that
caused...
You
gotta build that wall, people. These guys are now... It's now affecting our celebrities.
Wait a second.
People coming in on the slow boat, climbing over the river.
You thought it could never happen to you and your favorite guy from Aliens, but
right.
Here we are.
Yeah, it caused the actor's death 11 days later. In a statement, the attorney said, quote, Bill Paxton and his family trusted the physicians and staff at this medical facility, but instead Cedars-Sinai betrayed their trust. The surgeon's actions resulted in this tragic and preventable death. Paxton was 61. He died last February of complications from surgery for an aortic aneurysm.
Wow. He stewed, but why?
Oh, you did it. I won't kill him. I'll just hurt him real bad.
You know, I have very mixed feelings about, well, not even mixed. I don't like lawsuits, and it depends. There's two types of negligence. There's I was legitimately trying negligence, and shit happens, and then there's I showed up drunk negligence,
right.
Or
taking selfies and
whatever it is. And for those, I assume that all surgeons are trying as best they can when they're trying to stitch someone back together, do whatever. I also assume it's they're human, you're human, I assume it's pretty complicated too.
Yeah.
And my feeling is like I want to find out whether this person made a mistake or this person was negligent in that, like he said, you know, somebody said, you should get an upper GI first. And he went, oh, please, I don't have time for that or something.
Some
or I got to play golf in 20 minutes, so I'm going to hurry up and wrap this up. Like, I want to know, because when for the doctor, surgeons, or bus drivers, or whomever, who are there and someone's dead, but they actually... Everything was goodwill. I don't like those guys like put out of business or taken to the cleaners.
Yeah, if it ends up being what they're claiming and a judge or jury decides that it was incompetence, you know, he did unnecessary a procedure, that's pretty bad.
Well, and I think, I don't know what the updates are, but I think that's what was going on with Joan Rivers, but they're still filing some sort of a claim. What she was going in for, to have what, polyps, you know, or adenoids or something in her throat, just... fairly routine. Obviously, she's of advanced age, but trying to figure out that situation as well.
I think, yes.
That's nice.
But there was something, there was a slightly deeper thing with her, and I can't remember what it was, I don't know if it was cosmetic related, or she did it in the office. She didn't want to, didn't want to go in, or a surgery center, but not in a hospital.
Right, right.
But I don't know if there was some cosmetic part of it or not. Max Paddock can look it up, and we can also figure out what happened. So basically what I'm saying is if someone is negligent, I want them to pay the price. If someone is dead, and this is the person that was closest to them when they died, I don't necessarily want them to have their on the hook. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there is an element of the bus driver hit some black ice, lost control, and now someone is dead. But it doesn't mean that that person cannot drive a bus ever again or must lose their house. That's kind of where I'm at. Like I'm not of the everybody needs to get sued because somebody's dead. I want to know if there's a good direct causation. Yeah, and then I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. And so Paxton was getting what?
Aortic aneurysm they were dealing with.
So they needed to do it, right?
Yeah, it seemed like a necessary surgery. But
then it got botched.
And because they're filing a wrongful death lawsuit, I am sure there are plenty of details that are not going to come out for a while.
But also, the other thing, too, and it's kind of a, that's a good sign for your nation, I guess, which is we are doing things that were undoable several years ago.
Sure.
And they involve rib spreaders and cutting into people and taking a vein from your thigh and using it on your whatever and all this stuff. And we now have decided we have zero tolerance for anything going wrong. Like, hey, your husband, first off, people didn't live to 61. Now we've decided 61 means you're a young man and we're going to have you completely be anesthetized, have your ribs spread out, have your whole body taken apart. And if you're not playing golf in 3 days, we're suing. Mm-hmm. And my thing is like, I kind of feel the same way that people do when there's a 40-minute delay in a flight that's going to Baltimore and people are like pissed off going, come on, man. They said we're leaving at 10:20. It's 10:41. It's like,
it's outrageous.
We get to go. Yeah, it's outrageous. You get to go to Baltimore in 5 hours. Mm-hmm. People used to die trying to get to Baltimore, and it took them 9 months.
They wouldn't make it halfway.
Get dysentery.
Right. So I'm still not over that as a human being, where it's like Jimmy's son can have heart surgery, and it can be almost routine. That is not to me. Yeah. So what? What have you done for me lately? That's a blessing that we should appreciate. And if on occasion it goes south, just like the flight to Baltimore being delayed, I don't think there's any such thing as 100%. You know,
no error.
No margin for error. No, whatever. Like, yeah, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of flights a day. Some will be delayed. Mm-hmm. You'll get to Baltimore in 5 hours and 21 minutes instead of 5 hours.
Right.
I'm fine with that. Joan Rivers, throat surgery after complaining about hoarseness and a history of acid reflux. So nothing cosmetic.
Routine, Well, I have a couple other.
Dawson, I want to say something fast.
80% of the people who get aortic aneurysms die. Most of them on their way to the hospital. It's
really
a very difficult surgery to survive, and many times there are consecutive surgeries you have to get through. So in some cases, the survival rate will drop to like 2%.
Would you care to be a witness on the stand?
No, but Google can be.
But I'm also saying this, too. Like, so what I'm saying is just because a celebrity's dead and just because he died in one of the richest hospitals in America does not mean there needs to be a lawsuit.
Right.
But I may hear things to change my mind.
Yeah. Well, a couple of other lawsuit stories that I think are very different. I'd love to get your take on them. A former New York Police Department officer is suing the department claiming...
Guilty.
Mm-hmm. Claiming that his years on the job made him fat, according to the New York Post. 46-year-old Jose Vega, who retired 3 years ago with a pension, is now seeking disability benefits. He says he weighed 180 when he started on the job in 97 and now tips the scales at about twice that. He says the job caused him a lot of stress and forced him to eat donuts and fast food. His lawyer argues that the police work prevents a healthy lifestyle, saying, quote, it's easier to pull into a McDonald's and wolf something down when you're busy. The medical
board... And also
board,
when you're hacking, no one calls you a fat ass.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're a fat ass and you, like, cut someone off in traffic, you get, hey, fat ass, stay in your lane. But if you're driving a cruiser and you have a shotgun mounted behind it, you don't get the high beams.
After
and the,
you, sir.
That's right. Moving along, Tubby.
Yeah, you don't get so much of that when you're packing.
The medical board investigating claims that 10% of his condition can be attributed to job stress, but not 100.
All right, hold on. I got things to say. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. I've worked with these guys since they had 10 employees. Now, they're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news. They just released their brand new home security system. All new, Simply Safe. Smaller, faster, stronger than ever before. Completely rebuilt and redesigned with new safeguards against power outages, down Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, you name it. It's the first security system actually called Beautiful, and you should check it out. I have it, and you don't have to pull wires. It's up and running in under an hour. The batteries last up to 10 years. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So you get 24/7 protection, only $15 a month. No lock-in long-term contracts, but supplies are limited. So visit simplysafe.com/Adam. These are great sponsors. SimpliSafe.com/Adam. All right, quickie break. I'll come back and answer your cop question after this.
This week at AdamCarolla.com, take a knee with Adam Carolla and Jesse Tevelo.
I look at things in terms of what's the actual value you're getting from any given activity, right? And with college, it's absolutely not, at least in my opinion, the degree. It's not the paper. It's right. To me, there is still value, but the value is all between the lines. It's all the relationships. So my business partner now, I've known him. I met him at college, right? So like that's priceless, right? But the 4 years sitting in lectures, like that wasn't what the magic was, right? And so I think our schooling system needs to start adapting to that.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at AdamCarolla.com.
Yeah, so New York cop, morbidly obese, start off 100. Everyone starts off 180 pounds when they're leaving high school or the military or college. So the number one.
He clearly did not get your vest rule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Glad you reminded me of my former brilliance. My feeling with the cop vest is you get issued a bulletproof vest when you are a rookie. That shall be the only vest you get. It would behoove you to fit into it month after month and year after year. But still, if you were medium or whatever we put on a 180 pounder, when you balloon up to 350, there's going to be that much more hanging out for MS-13 to shoot at. Yeah. But we are not going to cover you. You have this vest. Same with the wedding dress. It's different
it works
dude.
Both ways. Rarely the same guy.
Right. So, That would have worked for this guy. And it is true. Everybody needs to kind of, you need to be the custodian of your own grade school, which is to say, there are certain things like being a cop. I get it. Free donuts, lots of hanging out in the car, you know, lots of whatever.
Turn those lights on.
I get that certain things come with the territory. When I was a boxing instructor, carpenter, did I tell you I used to box and I had to screw my knuckle up?
Oh, it did come up recently. I can't remember. Was this show or another? I might have been listening to
that. I think the Sklar brothers were in that day.
Drew, maybe.
Anyway, when I used to box, and I had a great hat trick. I was a boxing instructor, carpenter who was dirt poor. I never had to worry about getting fat ever.
Fuck a groupie.
I feel Excuse like I me? Heard Joel McCann in the
He's
background.
Still
so,
on this.
So, ooh,
I never had to count any calories or do any Vinnie Tortorich, whatever. I would oftentimes eat for dinner. One of my favorite poor man dinner would
ooh,
be.
That's a good segment.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We've all had our favorite poor man dinner.
I got mine.
I got a rice maker. Mm-hmm. Okay. His name is Chris Loxamani. No, somebody got me a rice maker. Is rice maker great when you're poor? You just like dump in a cup of rice and two cups of water, and you just push a button and you go into the other room, you know, and you come back and you have piles of rice. And it was all of 41 cents for my heaping pile of rice. And you get a weird special spoon as if other spoons couldn't remove the rice from the rice maker because any spoon would work, even your hand. But they give me a weird chopped spoon, a flat chopped spoon. The best. I'm now drooling just thinking about it. One of the best things in the world that you think is hearty, but you can never eat again once you talk to Vinnie Tortorich, is a chicken pot pie.
Oh.
You get like the Marie Callender's frozen chicken pot pie.
That thick gravy in it.
You think, oh, it's so wholesome. It's so hearty.
Sticks you know to your what ribs.
I mean? Yeah, it's like, no, that is just a mess. It's just a caloric mess. But I would go down to the Safeway when I was living in Santa Monica on 14th Street, my rent control apartment. I'd go down, I'd buy like the big size, you know, the man size chicken pot pie.
They call it family size, but
size chicken.
Yeah,
size of a space saver spare. It would be so I would go there, buy that, and bake that, and then make a big pile of rice and I would just capsize this thing on top of the pile of rice, and all the goo would just like drip down into the rice, and would kind of, I'd make a little volcano
of rice.
Yeah, and just dump that Marie Callender's pot pie into that, and it was all just the best. Like the pie, you know, would get gooey with the stuff, that the rice would absorb all the sauce flowing down. I'd eat that every other night, never gain an ounce. And the reason I never gain an ounce is because I'd get up at 6 in the morning, teach a boxing class, and then go do carpentry all day, and then be poor the whole day. So I never gained an ounce. But then I got into radio and TV and sitting in a man show office all day, like trying to figure out what we're going to eat for lunch, starting at like 9 in the morning. You know, what are we going to do for lunch? It's the only way you could get yourself to sit there all day and write fart jokes. Just go, what are you doing for lunch? So I had to basically start thinking, okay, no more chicken pot pies. Nice. And like, you got to curtail this, and you got to curtail, you got a thing. But like, then you go out on the road. Now I go out on the road and you're flying first class and they're pushing the ice cream cart by you and stuff like that. So you partake. But then when you get back, you take it easy. Like, it's a balance. It's not, hey, knock it off, don't ever touch it. It's like, hey, when you're cop, have the donut, but you're going to have to
not all the
balance
donut.
That out. A perp.
Yeah. It's just balance it out. It's not a can you ever. It's like you have to just constantly sort of monitor. And most successful people do that on a daily basis. Yeah. And if this guy wins this lawsuit, it's off, and we're off and running. We're going down to Idiocracy Row here, and it'll officially just become Idiocracy.
Yeah. Like,
and we're getting there already, but we'll be officially there.
Well, I'm curious how you feel about this lawsuit, and I promise this is my last lawsuit. A Texas man with 4 DUIs failed in his attempt to sue the state, arguing that 0.08 blood alcohol limit discriminates against alcoholics. Ralph Friesenhahn tried to overturn, well, listen to his logic here. He tried to overturn his most recent conviction by arguing that the state's driving limit of a 0.08 blood alcohol concentration isn't fair to frequent drinkers who have a higher tolerance.
I'm with him.
Yeah. But the judge thought that argument was stupid, tossed it out. Aww. The judge denied that the state law unfairly singles out alcoholics and noted that it applies equally to all drivers. Yeah, he's a...
Greg Allman is really bottomed out.
Go. Dude. Friesenhahn, by the way, his blood alcohol level was 3 times the legal limit when he was arrested. And again, this is his fourth one.
Well, let me say this, while I do not condone this behavior. But I have argued many times before this, I would like a heavyweight sticker on my license next to the donor. Yeah. Now, we could do it. Just go to the DM. You put the cones up, have a couple of pops, and see if you knock any cones over.
Do the
you know what I mean?
Course.
But I do, like, I do oftentimes think of this, which is I drive, my mom drives, and Mike August drives. I'm a licensed race car driver. I have a much higher skill level driving the car at 70 miles an hour. I'm not nearly as dangerous as my mom is in the same car at the same speed. She's
sober.
She's much more dangerous than I am. And then if my mom has 2 glasses of champagne and then gets behind the wheel again at her age with her skill level, she is much more dangerous than I am on a 6-pack, and she will be 0.05 or whatever, and I will be 0.13, and I will get arrested, and she would not. Now, there's one other factor here, which is kind of, and you could say it's all part of it, but this is provided we're both trying to drive well. Right. I could be making some bad decisions on this 6-pack I'm riding on, but if the job is to drive well, not endanger anyone, and try not to get pulled over by the popo, you would much rather have me and my Jag next to you at 0.13 than you would with my mom at 0.05 in her champagne, even though one is well under the limit, one's well over the limit.
Yeah.
All right.
So you, Mr. Friesenhahn,
so can do... Makes,
I rest my case.
Well, how about this? You guys remember a little documentary called Con Air?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, some people think of it as a movie or film, but
great
I think
doc.
It was more of a doc.
It's so true to life.
That's the way I look at it. When he was sentenced, he was sentenced at the beginning, the judge said, because of your training, the rules don't apply to you, Poe, because you're trained as a lethal weapon. You are trained by the military to kill people with your hands, and thus this isn't self-defense.
Right.
You're a weapon.
You're held to a higher standard.
You're registered, yeah.
I'm saying make the same argument with the DUI judge, which I'm a trained race car driver. Why have I a higher skill set than these people?
Why should I be lumped in with the non-drinkers?
Me at .08 is a more skilled driver than many, many others. All right.
Yeah. Sound legal defense.
Yeah. If anyone wants me to do a PSA, I'll be more happy to. Yeah, I got no problem with that. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, buddy. Hold on.
Cracking a cold one. Like a cold
one. That was not a prop.
Hey, my name's Ace Crowley. My memory from Manitou. Crank Yankers, Love Line with what's his fuck? Hey, sorry, I got a little buzz going. Hey, speaking of buzzes, ever had that situation where you are buzz, but you're not at home? And you got to get home, but everyone around you is either more buzz or even worse, you don't know them? Well, how about you go down to Joey Chitwood's Thrill Team Driving School out there in Willow Springs? Get yourself a little seat time and a slammed Acura with a cold air filter and a cat-back exhaust. Get your skill level up. Learn how to operate that Camry your mom left you after she died. And once you do, let's get that heavyweight sticker on your license. Let the popo know you belong. And a little tip, just from experience, if you do get pulled over, don't pull a beer out from between your legs and offer it to the lady cop. I'm Adam. Thanks for listening.
Powerful. And done. And timely.
Done and done.
Relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One more.
Okay. Well, some new...
He was talking to the bartender. One more over here.
Sorry.
All right. We'll do this one. Everyone's been talking about this today.
I won the Rolex Cup.
Yeah.
You know, Max Zapata.
There's a revelation coming. I don't want to hear. On a .07.
We are asked. We do our scheduling. We never run. We get to go to the we get to go to the Quail Lodge on days I don't run the race car. I actually run the race car in the morning for qualifying, and then we go to the Quail Lodge, and we don't get back in the car. But one year, I had to get back in the car. Ugh. And a couple of beers at the Quail. The race was later, way later in the afternoon, a couple of beers at the Quail. And cut myself off in ample time. Had a couple of cups of coffee on the way back to the track. I was safe. I was fine. Won the Rolex Cup that year.
Wow. That's a hero.
Never won it since. So,
this is the most uncomfortable humble brag ever.
You listening, kids? Okay.
You've been doing it wrong ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a Utah mother thought her sixth grade daughter was confused when the girl told the mom that just don't say no is the rule for her school's Valentine's Day dance, according to the SF Gate. Apparently, the girl said she was not allowed to say no if a boy asked her to dance. It's the just don't say no rule. Not Brian Bishop. You would have cleaned up, Brian. Natalie Richards first talked to a teacher at the school who confirmed that the policy forbids a girl from turning down a boy who wants to dance with her. According to a local channel, KMVT, Weber School District official Lane Finley said the rule was intended to teach students how to be inclusive. But Richard says protecting kids from rejection does them no favors, as it is part of life. So far, the rule remains in place.
The rule where you cannot turn
say
a guy
no.
down yeah. for... Yeah, I don't... There's a thing... All this stuff is perfect if everyone just died on their 18th birthday, like some kind of Logan's Run reboot. But as long as you're going to go out in the life and be rejected by... on every in many corners,
every turn,
right? You'll be rejected. There's a lot of rejection out there, more than success. Why would you want to train people to not be rejected? It's a very bizarre training. The training should be the opposite. If you're going to go out and apply for every five jobs you apply for, you get one job, or for every five girls you ask out, you get one date, or for every five times you try to go out and do stand-up, you get one laugh or whatever it is. If that's the ratio, and I'm being generous, then shouldn't we be training kids for that? And if we're not, we're going to have a lot of unhappy campers.
Very disappointed.
That's sad. Now, the only sliver of... because I was thinking about this and how... I hate this word, but how outraged everyone is. And I was like, what could the possible silver lining be in this? And the only thing I could think of was... You're socializing kids. So if a boy, you know, keeps coming up to, you know, girl and they keep saying no, you know, get out there, have fun, mix it up, just say yes to everyone.
I don't really have if it's a kid's school dance and you go, Bobby asked Sally to dance and
just
they do
dance
one dance
them.
And then it walks back to her bench and sits down. Like,
you're socializing.
I don't care.
Yeah, the lesson for her is don't be a cunt.
The thing that you'll realize, Bald.
You should teach, Ryan.
Is he just did.
Yeah, I was going to say, Phil, laid some lessons down.
The thing you're going to realize, Bald, is you, there's a level of participation that the world expects you to have that's well beyond anything you'd like to do or is useful. You will have nightly conversations about Tessa and her teachers and what they want, and they're setting up. I mean, it's like it's a nightly thing where it's like, oh, Sonny's teacher sent me a text. He's doing good, but not great. And she wants to know if we can get on. Well, she'd like me to come in, and it's like you're like, for what? They'll be done. First off, here's the thing. They'll be done with the sixth grade in a few months. Well, never. I don't. My sixth grade teacher was either Mr. Backus or Mr. Parker, Mrs. Parker. I don't remember. Who cares? Mrs. Harvey. I remember what she looked like. I don't remember anything she said to me. There would be no reason to have these discussions where, yeah, but it's important that you come in and that we really, they've gone way, way, way beyond. What is healthy for the kid? Kid needs a little autonomy. Right. Kid needs to fail.
Ownership.
Kid needs to find his way. And as far as the parents go, it's turned into a fucking full-time job with all the, we want you to show up at the, and we're doing a thing and we're sending a text out and everyone's got to answer. And I just kind of say to my wife now, like, don't answer. It's like, they want a meeting. They want to set up a meeting. It's like, or not. Just go to the seventh grade. They're like, yeah, but what am I going to say? It's like, you'll see everyone 2.5 times again before we're gone.
Day one
and
of class.
That'll be it. And then we'll move on. And it'll be as important one day as whatever your relationship was with your sixth grade teacher and the principal at that school.
And ultimately, like, they don't want to meet with you. They're hoping
they
to
do
say
not.
My assumption is everyone just gets paid and go home. So let's just get everyone keep walking.
Sounds good.
They're fine. And by the way, they're way ahead of the game. My kids are, they're well mannered. They're smart. They're bright. They have parents that are together, and they're not abusive, and rarely alcoholics. And they
functional
heavyweight status on the driver's license. They have a really good life and a really good house, a really good neighborhood, and a really good school. And that's enough.
That's a solid.
That's
base.
Good enough. We don't all have to like quit our gigs and I just tell like Lynette. Just tell them you're busy.
Yeah.
Look at everyone's like, that's my answer. I got to go to work. Like, and the good news is I go to work and then I come home with money. And then you guys get, you get a Tesla and the dog gets fed and your nanny gets paid. It works out pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's not all pretend like, here's the thing. Let's not pretending our kid is the only kid that's ever been born. Like a Eddie Murphy movie. It's not. Your kid's fine. Average. Whatever. Hopefully they'll be happy. That'll be it. And then we'll get on with it. And then they'll be old one day. You'll be dead. It'll be awesome.
And did you say, now if you'll excuse me, Natalia has an architect appointment to get to.
Much more important that she come with me to hang out at the architect's office than we go to the school and discuss why Sonny is... doing a C, but not a C plus in history or whatever it is. It's all nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Good. All right. Want to bring it home?
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna bring it home, bring it home. But I actually was on the other side, believe it or not, of the saying no to dancing.
Somebody made you dance with them?
Other way, I wrote about it in the book. Do your read. Do your Geico, and then I'll tell the quick story. I never told it on the podcast before.
I don't read. I feel, man. I feel.
Geico. Talk from the heart about Geico.
I read it, and I don't remember that part.
Talk about saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to pick anything up or drop anything off. You just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Pay for private school. Oh, man, more meetings. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at Geico. That's geico.com. Yeah, some of my favorite guys, your Joel McHales, your Jimmy Kimmels, I bet their parents had zero meetings from first to sixth grade in terms of sitting in there.
Not a lot
there's
of
no
hovering.
Way to communicate. Yeah. Like, it's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine. All right, sorry, Brian.
This would have been right around the time of...
Not Brian Bishop. Yeah,
I mean, within a year or two, like in that era, middle school. So I went to a summer camp, right? Summer camp up at the lake. That would have
funny
been
every
pretty,
time.
Pretty close.
We're looking at a picture, Brian.
Pretty,
yeah.
Yearbook picture.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
What year are we looking at here? The
that is here? Almost certainly my freshman year in high school. I was about 14.
14. 91, 13, 92. 14.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 92. Yeah.
Okay.
92. Early 90s. So this would have been around that era, and I'm up at summer camp, you know, the lake and the whole thing, and there's a girl who's always kind of hanging around. She's playing softball with all the guys, and she's, you know, she's a very tomboy, but she's always kind of hanging around. I noticed her a lot because she had flaming red hair, hard to miss, mm-hmm. and she was good at softball. Probably ended up being a lesbian, but she said...
Not important.
I was sitting... I was doing the math. I was sitting by the lake one day, just kind of chilling, and a girl comes up to me, a different girl, and she goes, "Hi, what's your name?" And I'm like, "Brian." She goes, "Okay, thanks." And she runs off. So I'm doing the math. She's running off to a friend to tell you she's been sent over. Exactly, mm-hmm. the whole thing. And I'm starting to put two and two together as camp goes on over the course of a couple weeks. And by the time the last night comes around, the big dance, right? Then the dance is typical, you know, boys on the one side of the wall, girls on the other side of the wall, music's going awkwardly, no one's dancing. And one person, the redheaded girl, makes the scary trek across the room. I wrote about this in my chapter of my biggest regrets in my life because I've thought about this dozens of times since, and I hate myself for it. But she came up, walked right up to me, and was like, "Hey," sheepishly, you know, kind of, you know, kicking her feet. "Hey, you want to dance?"
How rough was she?
She wasn't super attractive.
She's ginger.
And I was desperate. I mean, I was not being shown a lot of attention.
Match made in heaven.
Yeah. My problem is I never factored in my desperation.
Oh, imagine Danny Bonaducci.
Right.
Imagine Danny Bonaducci. A young, you know, like
a frizzy,
you know,
red hair.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very hard to...
she's probably gorgeous now.
Yeah. there's your occasional sort of Nicole Kidmans, mm-hmm. but the redheads,
yeah.
tough at 13.
It's tough,
yeah, you couldn't comb that out.
No.
And so, you know, sheepishly... "Hey, man, you want to dance?" And I kind of looked around at the friends I'd made, you know, sitting, standing next to me over the week, and I chickened out. I said, no, not really. I'm at a dance. I'm at a dance. And I said, "No, I don't want to dance." I still think about that because it's so heartbreaking. And she looked at me, she kind of crestfallen, her shoulders kind of slumped. She goes, "Come on."
Oh, Brian, wow. You're a
I
dick.
Said, I was a super dick. That was the dickiest thing I think I've ever done in my life. And I regret it to the... I regret it so much that I put it in my chapter of my biggest regrets of my life. For when I was, whatever it was, 12 or 13 years old, I sent this girl away who wanted to dance with me at a dance.
Right.
And it wasn't like I was beating off all... "Look, you see this line of... You see this line of honeys?"
Take a number, sweetheart.
That wouldn't be fair to, you know, to them if I said yes to you.
From the mouth of Brian.
Did it was she said come on. She said come on because she knew she had a really long walk back.
Yeah, like as if to say, "Dude, look at
look
this
what
dance.
I've done.
Look what I gotta walk back to, you know." Like,
but also
come on, it's the last night of summer camp. What's the big deal?
She did a little recon work and she did sort of what guys will do every once in a while, though it didn't work out for me, but you would go find a sort of sure thing, confidence builder. I mean, her.
Yes, that's her. How'd you guys find a picture of her?
Looking at Danny.
Come
Bonaducci.
On, get happy. Look at that face.
So here's the thing.
Aww.
Here's the thing. I mean, Brian, but tell me if this is an accurate assessment. She knew she wasn't going to walk up to Dolph Lundgren Jr. and try her luck because she had the frizzy red hair and she'd probably get shot down.
Yes, she did not view me as out of her league.
You were supposed to be the sure thing.
I was the pitch down the middle that she could crush.
Right. So she went over to the guy that was with the braces and the glasses that didn't seem to be the lady killer and thought, I'll do this guy because that'll be, I will not be shot down.
Yes, this is one I can put in play.
And then she had to walk back across
the humiliating walk back. I sent her, I regret it to this day, and I thought, this is when I was 12 years old, and I still think about it on a semi-regular basis. I was a super dick.
That means you're a good person.
And the
silver lining.
The come on part was a combo of you're no prize and please I don't want to have to walk back.
Yeah, it was. I think it was that. It was come on, man. It's the last night of summer camp. What the who cares?
Right.
Maybe that was my
and
adult
all,
brain.
All you would have done is go out and do a song.
Do
right?
a boogie.
That's right. Probably would have got everyone else dancing. Probably would have got the party started.
Yeah, you could have been your Teen Wolf moment. And I because
shameful.
You guys are from California.
Look, glad that you think that way.
Yeah, it means he's a good person.
Yeah, means you're a
I
good
went
person.
To a million bar and bat mitzvahs, as you guys probably did too. At least a handful.
Literally,
they
never
didn't,
once.
I thought you had all those Jew friends.
They're just called friends, Gina. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I went to many, and I'm from Kansas City. And so we got sort of socialized in that time.
Kansas City. Wow.
Often.
Yeah. But they didn't really bat mitzvahs were invented in, like, 1984 or something.
You're
like,
not
there
wrong.
Wasn't a big thing. Like,
girls didn't do it.
Bar mitzvahs were, you know, 1,000 years, and then at some point, in the '80s,
yeah,
like chicks were like, "Hey,
too.
I want some cash too. Yeah, I want a Schwinn.
I
want a
moped."
I'll
do it a year older.
So they sort of it may have technically existed, but there was no such thing as bat mitzvahs when I was young because it's all about the young boy becoming a man.
Oh.
So, but I did go to one I remember for sure, and possibly another.
And did you just even in school, the big way to dance when you're in middle school is, first of all, the girls always a foot and a half taller and you're just about as close to each other as you can get, and your neck is craned completely behind you looking at everybody else
so as not to make eye contact.
Correct.
Yes. I am now breaking down my game film, and what happened with me is I grew up in the North Hollywood. And I went to the school across the street from my barn that I grew up in, and that was Colfax Elementary. And Colfax Elementary just kind of serviced the other losers that lived in the North Hollywood area.
Right.
Carpenter Avenue Elementary was up Laurel Canyon across Ventura Boulevard in the Hebrew Heights. All the Hebrews exclusively lived in the hills of Studio City. Okay. They went down Laurel Canyon and stopped at Carpenter and went 1 through 6 to Carpenter, meaning there were 12 or whatever when they left. Then we all left
piled
our school
and
got dumped into Walter Reed Elementary, including like bus kids from the inner city and stuff like that. And these kids were all turning 13 about the 7th grade
so
when they got dropped in.
Yeah.
And it was just me and Ray and Chris and my Goyim friends. And we didn't know any of these guys when we showed up. By the 9th grade in high school, we were friends, but they'd already been botsvamized.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to use the power of this podcast for good. If anyone knows or thinks they know who this redheaded girl might be, she would have been 13-ish, 12-ish in the early 90s. Northern California, North Bay, Camp Mather was the camp. I mean, you know, I'm giving as many details as I can. I'd like to send her a copy of my book.
Wow, Brian.
Autograph?
You are a shameless motherfucker.
No. Normally that's $5.
I've got some remainder copies in back. Yeah, a discounted copy of my book.
Well, we know the area.
I would like to apologize.
Put in promo code Not Brian Bishop.
We know the camp name.
Camp Mather.
That's Mather. Right.
Could be Mather, but M-A-T-H-E-R.
All right, and it would have been 92?
Early 90s, and it would have, she would have been about my age, which was 12 or 13.
Flaming red hair, great at softball.
That's right. Athletic tomboy, athletic. Yeah. Heartbroken for the rest of her life.
Always walking around like Snoopy.
Brian,
and Charlie Brown.
Brian.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Phoenix GCU Arena, February 27th, no safe spaces. Sacramento, we already talked about that. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Santa Ana Esports Arena, 2 shows, April 21st, live taping of stand-up over there. Sorry, lots of stand-up, lots of live events, the cruise, we got, you can get some buck slips at the ACS store, the podcast masterclass, Corolla Class.com. Very informative. Joel McHale. The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale premieres Sunday. This Sunday, February 8th. That's coming up on Netflix. And, of course, a stupid and futile gesture as well. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Joel McHale and Gina Grad and Ball Bryan. Say mahala.
Plow a stranger.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, here's the phone number, 888-634-1744. The Ace Man's doing stand-up at Thunder Valley Casino in Sacramento, March 2nd. Get your tickets for it now, plus everything else at adamcarolla.com.